Well, this morning we're going to begin a short series on missions, as I mentioned to you last Sunday. What we mean by missions, very simply, is the spread of the gospel of Christ. Let me read what I've written out over here. Is the spread of the gospel of Christ through a redeemed people for the glory of God. That's what missions means, right? The spread of the good news of Jesus Christ through a redeemed people, that's us, for the glory of God. It means making disciples in the image of Christ to the glory of God. That's what we're doing when we talk about missions. Every believer is called to be on mission with God. Every believer. I know we have a category called missionaries. That isn't even the Bible as a term, right? But it's a practical way of speaking of people who are full-time committed to going out and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And so we use that term to define that role, if you like. But every believer, biblically speaking, is a missionary. You like that? You're not looking very happy about that. Every believer is a missionary. Is that scary? It is, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, when you think about missions and missionaries, it's scary to think that I am also on missions, that I'm also called by God and commissioned by Christ to take the gospel of Christ Jesus to the world. It's the calling of every believer. So we're going to look at this four-part series on missions, and we're going to talk about just four aspects of missions. We're going to talk about this morning the messenger, that's us, the messenger. Next Sunday, Pastor Abhishekta will speak. He's the pastor of DBF West. He will speak on the message, that's the gospel. The following Sunday, which is the missions weekend, by the way, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 25th, 26th, 27th, is a DBF missions weekend. I've sent you the flyer so you can come to some of those events. But Pastor Dinesh Patel will speak on the mission, that's to whom the gospel is got to go out to, like who are we supposed to reach out to. And then finally on the first Sunday of November, I think it's the 3rd of November, Reverend George Dawson will speak on the method. How should we proclaim the gospel? Alright, easy for you to remember. The messenger, that's us. Yes? The messenger, that's us. The message, that's the gospel. The mission, to whom the gospel's got to go to. And the method, how should we do it? How should I be a missionary? Where I live and where I work, how should I speak about the Lord Jesus Christ? And how does God help me do that as well? So this morning we're going to talk about the messenger. That's you and me. You and I, we're the messengers. The Bible calls us, it says that we are ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're ambassadors for Christ as though God were making his appeal through us to the world, be reconciled to God. You're an ambassador for Christ in the world, to tell the world about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. The Bible also says that we're co-workers, that we are workers in his harvest field. We're fishers of men. That's what Paul, Christ says to the Lord, to Peter. He says, you know, I'll make you fishers of men. That's what we are as well. In Romans chapter 10, and I want you to look at these verses because you want to understand how important the messenger is. Right? How important is the messenger? Romans chapter 10, and I want to read to you from verses 13 through to verse 15. If you've got your Bibles, it's great if you can turn there. Otherwise, I think we'll probably put that up on the screen. Romans 10, 13 to 15. Here's what Paul writes. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching or proclaiming or telling? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You got that? Right there in the middle. It says, over here, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? People cannot hear the gospel in order to believe in the gospel, in order to be saved, unless someone tells them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, in His infinite wisdom, although He could have very well done this on His own, much faster, much easier, God in His infinite wisdom has chosen you to be His messenger. He's chosen you to be the means through which people will hear the gospel of Christ. Conversely, if you don't speak, they will not hear the gospel of Christ. That's the weight and the emphasis of what Paul is saying. Do you get it? The importance of the messenger. When we talk about the mission of God, it's God's plan to save the world, but He does it through His people. The messenger is absolutely important. You and I are absolutely important in God's infinite wisdom. He has chosen us to be His messengers. And I love how Paul ends that passage. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I've asked you before, what kind of feet do you have? What kind of feet do you have? What kind of news are you bringing? Are you just bringing political news? Are you bringing news about work situations? Are you bringing financial news? What kind of news are you bringing to people that really, really matters? The gospel matters. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So you are a messenger and I am a messenger. What kind of feet do we have that bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Beautiful feet, I hope. Now this morning I'd like to look at a few characteristics from 1 Timothy that we read to us. So turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 to 17. And I want to look at a few characteristics that qualify us to be messengers of the gospel. This is by no means exhaustive. I'm sure there's much more you could probably add to this, but I chose this passage. I felt it would be relevant. Paul is a messenger and he's expressing some things about how Christ called him and how he does his work of proclaiming the gospel. And I thought it would be good for us to look at. So some characteristics that qualify you and me to be messengers of the gospel. Let me just tell you what they are and then we'll look at them one at a time. A messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ is humble, is grateful, is Christ-centered. That's it. Very easy. Alright? If you remember nothing else, just think, I'm a messenger of Christ. I gotta be humble, I gotta be grateful, and I gotta be... Oh, you're ahead of me already. Fantastic. Humble, grateful, Christ-centered. And that's what you see in Paul's own example over here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Alright, let me just open that. Okay, so let's look at the first characteristic of the messenger of the gospel. It is that they ought to be humble. They ought to be humble. Now, I want you to notice how Paul speaks of himself. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, who is a young pastor. And so he's teaching Timothy what the messenger of the gospel should be like, so that Timothy can in turn teach the church what the messengers of the gospel should be like. And so that's what we're doing this morning over here. And he says that the first thing that you observe from this is that the messenger of the gospel has got to be someone who is humble. And I want you to notice how Paul speaks of himself. He's not speaking of himself in glowing terms, right? Oh, I did this and I traveled here and I've been to all these countries and done this. No, no. He's got a very interesting way of speaking of himself. And he says over here, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, because He has judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Though formerly, so he's going back and he's saying, this is who I used to be. Though formerly, I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. That's what he says about himself. There was a time that I opposed Christ. And I opposed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read the book of Acts, which we've done a series on long time back, but you will notice how Paul opposed, and at that time his name was Saul. You will notice how he opposed the church. In fact, the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was put to death at the behest of Saul himself. Saul was standing there and Stephen's clothes were placed at his feet as if Saul was giving approval to the stoning of Stephen. That's the kind of person that Saul was. And Saul would regularly travel to places and he would have Christians arrested and thrown into prison and probably many others put to death as well. That's the kind of person that he was. In fact, when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he was on the road to Damascus and he had taken letters of permission from the high priest to go all the way to Damascus to have Christians arrested and churches shut down. He says, that's the kind of person that I was. I was an opponent to the gospel of Christ. I was an opponent. He doesn't hide that. It takes humility. It takes humility to be able to admit some of those things. That I was an opponent. And I think this is important for us. Because the Bible says that all of us, whether we were like Saul or not, walked as enemies of the gospel of Christ. It says that in Romans chapter 5, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, God reconciled us through His Son. Do you think of yourself like that in your former life? That you were an enemy of the gospel? That you were an enemy of the cross? I grew up in a Christian home. I heard the gospel from a very, very young age. I put my faith in Christ when I was 3 years old. And so I'm not an enemy, right? That's what I think. And yet, there are many times in my life, even in growing up in a Christian home, that I have walked as an enemy of the gospel of Christ. Because I've chosen not to live for Jesus. I've chosen to do things my own way. I have sinned in my life, and so I've walked as an enemy of the gospel of Christ. Christ died because of children's sin. I've got to be an enemy of Christ before. And Paul is saying that about himself. And we've got to think about that as well. We've got too high a view of ourselves. We've got to be sober in our judgment of who we are. But notice also what he says in verse 15. He says over here, he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul, I'm the foremost of sinners. Now this is interesting because we know from scripture that Paul was a religious person. In fact, he was from the group of the Pharisees. And if you know anything about the Pharisees, they knew the scriptures. They could beat you any day in the Old Testament scriptures and memorizing it and explaining it. And when it came to righteousness, keeping the law, blameless. That's what Paul says in Philippians. So I kept the law. That's who the Pharisee was. And so it's interesting that Paul, this religious person who kept the law, can say that I was the foremost of sinners. And I don't think he's just saying it. I think he believes it. I think he gets it. He understands that his righteousness was nothing when it stood before God's holiness. His righteousness was nothing. You see, as long as Saul compared himself to everybody else, he might have been the most righteous person. But the minute he met Jesus and stepped into the presence of the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, he recognized his unworthiness. He recognized it. You know, it's when we get close to the light that we recognize our blemishes. You know, when you shave, men, when you shave, you stand in the front of the mirror and you have bright lights so you don't miss a spot, right? You don't stand far back in the darkness. You'll miss everything. But you stand close. Or when you go to a doctor, the doctor will take out the torch and they will examine your tongue and your ear and they'll get in there, man. He's not going to stand far off from you and kind of make a diagnosis. That doesn't happen. He's going to get up close and personal. He's going to touch you and feel you and put the stethoscope all over because he wants to see the problem. And when he sees it, he can give you the medication for it. When you and I get up close to Christ, we begin to see our sin, our unworthiness, because we get close to the light. As long as you stand far away from Jesus, you will have a high view of yourself. You will have a bloated view of who you are, if you like. But when you get close to Christ, you recognize your own sinfulness and your own unworthiness. And I think that's what Paul is doing. And when he met Jesus on that road, he recognized and he says, I'm the foremost of sinners. And I think that's important for you and I to reflect on. Are you walking close to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 3, Paul writes, Romans 3:23, in a passage that says, there is no one righteous, not even one. And at the end of that, in verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we measure ourselves up before God, we recognize how unworthy we are. You might be better than people around you, but stand before God. That's what matters. The Pharisee is always measuring himself with people around. But the truly repentant believer has got his eyes fixed on who God is and on who Christ is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If a messenger, listen to this carefully, I've written it out here, let me say this to you. If a messenger cannot see his or her own sin that made their salvation necessary, then they will never be able to communicate the gospel truthfully. Let me say that again. If a messenger, that's you and me, if we cannot see our own sin that made our salvation necessary, then we will never be able to communicate the gospel truthfully. We'll never be able to do it. You see, as long as you do not see the gospel of Christ as absolutely necessary for your salvation, if you don't see that, you will not be able to speak about it truthfully or passionately. Maybe put it the other way around. If you are not speaking about the gospel truthfully and passionately, it may be that you have not understood how absolutely necessary it was for you to be saved. Maybe somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you feel like, you know what, I'm good enough. God likes me. I keep the law, I give my tithes, I go to church, I do all of these things, and we keep God happy. But as long as you have that view, you will never speak of the gospel as a necessary thing for your own life and for your neighbor's life. You'll never speak of it like that. It won't matter to you. Really important for us to think about it. That's where humility comes in, where I step in and I say, you know what, I'm not worthy. I'm the foremost of sinners. Christ Jesus saved me. But let's look at the second characteristic of a messenger of the gospel. And that is that they are grateful. They're humble, but they're also grateful. They're grateful. And I want you to notice what Paul says as he begins in verse 12. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. I thank God. I thank Christ Jesus that he has appointed me to his service, even though I was an opponent, an insolent opponent. He says, I thank Christ Jesus that he has appointed me. In verse 16 again, he says over here, he says, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience. I've received mercy. I've received mercy. And so he's so grateful to God. He's got this attitude of gratitude. He's got an attitude of gratitude to God. I've received mercy. And I thank God that he has done this in my life. He's grateful that God is merciful and gracious to him. And you can see that. He talks about God's grace. He talks about his mercy. He talks about the love of God toward him. He's so grateful for it. And that's how he begins this passage. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Grateful people are people of action. Grateful people are people of action. Just think about this. When someone does you a favor, your gratitude shows, doesn't it? When someone does you a favor, you want to get up and you want to help them and you want to do stuff for them because you're so grateful. And the larger the favor, the more grateful you are. You know, if they gave you a job, my goodness, you're indebted to them for your whole career. If they found you a spouse, that's even bigger. If they found you a house, that's even bigger. You know, it just gets bigger and bigger. And so you're grateful as big as the favor is. You're filled with gratitude. Do you see what Christ has done for you? Do you see the magnitude of His grace toward you, of His goodness toward you? We sang that song, "You are good, good, so good." Do you see how big God's favor is on your life? Because if you see it, you will be grateful. If you don't see it, you will not be grateful. You will live your Christian life as if God should be grateful to you. You get the difference, right? Lord, today I came early to church and I set up the place. You know, you should be happy with me. Oh Lord, today I gave an extra 500 rupees for my offering. You know, and as if God has got to be indebted to us somehow. Although, you know, Lord, I helped this person. You were telling me to help this poor person. I went out of my way and I helped them. And, you know, so God's got to be grateful to us. And we live like that. If you're honest about it, I know that I do from time to time because I'm serving as a pastor. You know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. God's got to be grateful to me. But that's not Paul's attitude at all in this. He says, in fact, rather than God being grateful to me, I am grateful to God. It's never the other way around with the Apostle Paul. It's never the other way around. He says, I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to Him. I'm so grateful to Him. And that's what you observe in these passages. He says, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. I don't feel like I should be in this place, but He has called me to this place as a messenger, and so I'm grateful to Him. Where Paul was concerned, it was a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege. Is it a privilege for you to serve God? Is it a privilege? Whatever you can do, big or small, wherever you are, is it a privilege to serve God? Is it much more than just a duty? Is it a delight to serve God? Are you grateful for what God has called you to? And if God has called you and me to be messengers, why are we so reluctant? Why are we so reluctant to open our mouths and to speak about Christ? We're so reluctant to do it. Maybe because we're not humble. Maybe because we're not grateful for what God has done in our life. Come back to Romans 10. If God in His infinite wisdom has determined and decreed that the gospel will go to all people through His people, His messengers, then why are we so reluctant to serve God in that way? Why are we so reluctant? I think if you're grateful, if you see the magnitude of what Christ has done, you will be grateful. And Paul does that. It's all over this passage. He says, I was an opponent, I was the foremost of sinners, but God has shown me His grace and His mercy and His love, and He has called me, and I feel so privileged to be serving this great God. That's Paul's attitude in this, an attitude of gratitude. Let's come to the third characteristic of the messenger of the gospel. The third characteristic of the messenger of the gospel is that they are Christ-centered. They're Christ-centered. They're humble, they're grateful, looking at Paul's example, but they're Christ-centered also. One of the things that you observe in Paul's life is that he was wholeheartedly Christ-centered in all that he did. Wholeheartedly Christ-centered in all that he did. At least he tried his best to be. So I want you to notice with me some of the things he says in this passage. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, for what I'm doing. I thank Him for what I'm able to do. He magnifies the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14. He speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the love of the Lord Jesus in verse 14 again. Right? He speaks of Christ's love. He magnifies the salvation that comes through Jesus in verse 15. He magnifies the salvation. He speaks of the perfect patience. Look at verse 16 for a moment. Important one. He says, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life." I received mercy. Why did you receive mercy, Paul? For this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ's patience might be made known, might be manifest. I'm a sinner saved by grace, so that Christ's patience might be manifest, might be honored, might be praised, might be lifted up. And he says, as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And then in verse 17, he finishes with this benediction. I love this. And it's a personal benediction. It's one that he is saying as he is speaking of these things. And he's speaking about how gracious God has been to him. Paul cannot but help himself say these words. And in verse 17 he says, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." What a benediction. What a cry from his lips, from this man who was, you know, from Acts we've looked at, if you've got any idea of Paul's life, what a man he was for the gospel. What extensive work he was able to do. And yet he says to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Not to myself, not for me, not for my glory, not for my name, but for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. That's how he lived his life, for the glory of God. You know, the Apostle Paul in his ministry, he endured great hardship. Many times he was beaten, he was mocked, he was falsely accused, he was thrown in prison. He was sent off to Caesar, was in house imprisonment in Rome, and finally we know from church history that he was killed by Emperor Nero in Rome. And I don't think Paul would have regretted a single moment of those things in his life. They were hard, there was no doubt it was hard. But he didn't regret it. In fact, here's the catch cry of his life in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. I think it's a great catch cry for your own life, a great mission, if you like, for your own life. And Paul says this in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because I'll be with Christ. Either way, it's about Christ. For to me to live is Jesus Christ, and to die is still about Jesus Christ." Paul was wholeheartedly, intensely, passionately Christ-centered in his life. That's a characteristic of a messenger of the gospel. You see, if you and I are self-centered, then my ambitions and my goals and my security and my plans and my purposes are going to supersede God's mission in the world. If I'm self-centered. And so all I'm going to think about and dream about and sleep on and talk about is what's going to happen to me. How am I going to get ahead? What am I going to do with this? And what am I going to do with that? And it's going to be intensely self-focused, self-centered. But when it is Christ-centered, then it doesn't matter whatever else comes your way. Sickness and health, prosperity and little, it doesn't matter. It will be for God's glory. You will endure it like Paul did, because you live for Christ. That's what a messenger is all about, of the gospel. And you cannot be a messenger if you are self-centered. It just won't work. You'll never speak of it. But if you are Christ-centered and grateful and humble, then you're on mission with God. You're on mission with God. You're not on your own mission. You're on mission with God. And we're not just talking about humility as, you know, oh, he's such a humble person, but biblical humility that is able to say, you know, I was the foremost of sinners. We're talking about biblical gratitude that is deeply grateful to serve God, where we think it's a privilege to serve God. We're talking about Christ-centeredness, not self-centeredness. Those are the characteristics of a messenger. And I want you to take that back. It's very simple, but what you need to do is you need to do self-evaluation and say, okay, wait a minute. How do I measure up in these things? Am I humble? Am I grateful, biblically speaking, okay? And am I Christ-centered in my life? Am I living, like Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Is that how I'm living my life? Because if you are, you know what? You're on mission with God. You're on mission with God. And you will speak the gospel when God gives you the opportunity to do that. The messenger is vitally important to the mission. And all of us are called to be messengers.